to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We are coming to you live from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM. It is Saturday evening, September 26th, and we would like to thank all of you tuning in on the affiliate stations of Liberty News Radio. Also, all of those who are tuned in online or via satellite this evening. I especially want to take the time here at the top of this hour to welcome AM 1600 out of St. Helens, Oregon. Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for signing on to become the newest affiliate station of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am a big fan of the state of Oregon, haven't been there in a while, but it's just funny that I learned that we would be carried by AM 1600 up there in St. Helens this week. I was just commenting last week what a big fan I am of the Portland Trailblazers, and that is a fact all my life. Going back as far as I can remember, watching the Rick Adelman-led teams, man, it was a good time. Rip City. I want to share with those of you tuning in tonight, perhaps for the first time up there in Oregon, a little bit about our show, and I'll quickly sift through our biography. That can be found on our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm your host, James Edwards. Co-hosts include Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and Keith Alexander. The Political Cesspool is a radio broadcast that has gained national attention for conducting interviews featuring columnist Pat Buchanan, author Jerome Corsi, rocker Ted Nugent, and countless other headliners and newsmakers. I've had the honor of appearing on CNN numerous times, while the show itself has been the subject of articles in the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, the London Times, Die Zeit, Newsweek magazine, and many other major print publications. The Political Cesspool radio program advocates a paleoconservative and America First philosophy on the issues while standing up for the dispossessed majority of European Americans. The show has received a certificate of recognition from the Memphis City Council. That's our home base for outstanding contributions to the community, as I said in the first hour. And the hosts have been named honorary city councilmen. That's just a little bit about our show, but there's so much more that we've said and done over the course of the past 5 years. We encourage you to learn more by visiting our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So that being said, I guess that was redundant for many of you who have been with us for so long, but for the benefit of those joining us tonight for the first time from AM 1600 in St. Helens, Oregon, welcome aboard and welcome to the Political Cesspool. First thing I want to talk about during this hour, and don't forget we have Tom Ball coming up tonight during the third and final hour. He is the author of the new book, Starving the Monkeys. It's a book that we're very high on here in the Political Cesspool. He was on a few weeks ago, and he's coming back for an encore interview live in just a little bit. So stay tuned all the way through to tonight's conclusion to hear Tom Ball as he presents us with some solutions. We often we're often long on problems and short on solutions. He's going to offer us a few solutions that hopefully all of us can implement and activate in our daily lives. But anyway, to the news stories that we have flagged for commentary tonight on the program, Christians in Great Britain, and of course we keep a close eye on what happens in Europe and in Great Britain, as so many of us have ancestors from the mother continent. And we're also, of course, big fans of the British National Party. Nick Griffin, a member of European Parliament, was on our show I think it was last month, and so we're always interested to know what's going on in our countries of descent. But British Christians are arrested for discussing religion with a Muslim. And, you know, this is truly what hate speech laws have come to now in England. A couple who run a bed and breakfast have been arrested for defending their Christian beliefs to a Muslim guest who was criticizing Christianity. I read now directly from the story. A Christian couple have been charged with a criminal offense for taking part in what they regarded as a reasonable discussion about religion with guests at their hotel. Ben and Sharon Vogelzang were arrested after a Muslim woman complained to police, mind you, that she had been offended by their comments. Quote, they have been charged Did you hear me, folks? Charged under public order laws with using threatening, abusive, or insulting words that were religiously aggravated, end quote. You know, that's the lack of freedom of speech that exists in so many first world countries. Countries where we have brothers and sisters, countries like Great Britain. And that's what it's going to come to here in the United States as well, unless we collectively do something to stop it. And in order to stop it, we're going to have to stop being so silent. And as I said during the first hour tonight, we're going to have to stop being so scared and imprisoned by the Marxist construct words like racist and anti-Semite and xenophobe and whatever else they use to defame our character, all of these other unapplicable words that they use to try and get us to shut up. We've just got to, listen, we got to not be concerned with the labeling that we receive from our enemies. We're not here to win them over. We're here to reclaim America's destiny. That's what we're here to do. We're here to honor the people who carved this country from a wilderness. That was our people, ladies and gentlemen. And we can't have a first world country if we have a third world population. And this kind of stuff is the stuff that you find in the third world, where you're not able to speak openly if you're offending the sensibilities of a minority. And this is what hate speech laws were invented, though. No matter how many times their proponents deny it, the ADL invented the concept of hate speech, and one of their primary motivations is their raging hatred of Jesus Christ and of Christians. And we just got to be frank and candid in our discussions. I think all of our arguments ought to be well-reasoned and not hysterical or sensational. But we can't mince words anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We're far beyond, listen, our freedoms here hang by a fingernail. In Australia and Canada and many of the European countries, freedom of speech doesn't exist at all. Just ask Ernst Zundel or Germar Rudolph. The list goes on and on. They don't exist. They're not going to exist here unless we start standing up and speaking out and supporting the organizations, what few there are, that are fighting for our people. This show is one of them. All right, another story. I love this one. This comes from Chicago, no less. The thugs up there are appearing to go green. That's the trend, right? Go green. I'm not sure if these black Chicago gangbangers are trying to reduce their carbon footprint or if they're just broke. But either way, I'm sure that Al Gore would agree that pedal-by shootings are far better than drive-by shootings. And what am I talking about? Well, here is the scoop. There was a pedal-by shooting up there in Chicago a couple of days ago. Our friends with police scanners are reporting that there was a shooting at 4752 North Magnolia Street in Chicago around 7 p.m. Witnesses report that a male was shot in the back by someone on a bicycle. The victim is alert and was cooperating with the police, so the article states. The shooter is described as a black male, skinny, 18 to 20 years old, wearing a green sweater. He fled the scene by cycling east on Lawrence Street, end quote. Now, we've got this, as we do every story that we bring to your attention on this program. We have it documented on our official website with links and references. You can do the research for yourself. We want you to use your mind, use the brain that God gave you, and form your own conclusions. But if you just listen to us, it's easier than thinking. And we're going to tell you the truth, unlike most mainstream broadcasts. But if you want to go and research this or any other story that we bring to your attention on this show, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I would strongly advise any liberals who might be tuning in tonight not to read the comments on that particular article. There are a lot of people up in Chicago who seemingly think just like us. And you know what? That doesn't surprise me, because what do we always say? What we advocate on this show is what's right for all Americans. All Americans. Yes, we are a show that unabashedly does stand and speak up for the dispossessed majority. But what we advocate is not only right for our family and our friends, but it's right for everyone. If everyone would just start thinking more like James Edwards, there would be no problems in the world today. I truly believe that. Well, we got a lot more to cover tonight, including coming up, the story that we teased you with during the first hour. HOV lanes are now allegedly racist. Carpool lanes are racist. So says a county government in Virginia. We got that story and much more coming up when the political cesspool continues on the Liberty News Radio tonight, Saturday, the 26th of September. We'll be back with more right after these words from our fine sponsors.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith. That's right, I'm James Edwards. And if you do want to call in tonight, we so rarely open up the phone lines. There's so much to talk about and so much information to sort through each and every program. You know, that sometimes we open the phone, sometimes we don't. But I'll open up the phone lines here for a few minutes if anybody wants to call in and be on the line with me tonight. I am here flying solo in the studio for the next few minutes until I'm joined by my guest during the third hour tonight, Tom Ball. If you want to give us a call, you know the number. 1-866-986-NEWS. 1-866-986-NEWS. I got a story here, a black preacher who spoke at the Family Values Conference there. It was televised on C-SPAN last week. He's telling the evangelical crowd to quit criticizing Obama if they want to stop gay marriage. Now, we've got a video up on our website if you want to see it. It's of Bishop Harry Jackson. He is the newest token among the James Dobson crowd. He's speaking at a recent convention of people concerned about the future of family values in America. And naturally, the audience is almost entirely of European descent. Jackson tells him that they need to stop criticizing Obama if they want to stop gay marriage, as I said. Now, you can watch the video if you want. It's on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But if you'd rather not, let me sum up his argument. Now, these are my words, not his, but it's pretty close. It's a pretty close paraphrasing. Here's basically what he's saying. Look, folks, I know you're not racists, but the media keeps calling you that when you criticize Obama. And since a lot of black people are unable to evaluate information for themselves and form their own opinions, they just believe what the liberals tell them to believe, which means that most black people think that you're racist if you criticize Obama. We need these black people on our side if we're going to outlaw gay marriage, so please stop criticizing Obama. That's pretty much what he said. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, again, go ahead and watch the video. We've got it for you. We don't have anything to hide here, but that's pretty much what he says. But don't miss the part where he talks about the time he was eating at a black restaurant in Washington, D.C. There was a TV on, and the newscaster had announced that Jerry Falwell had died. Upon hearing that, a black waitress there started dancing around and yelling how glad she was that Jerry Falwell was dead. And here's the reason I bring this story to your attention tonight. I have no problem whatsoever of folks of different races or of a race other than my own, different ethnicities, agreeing with us on the issues and helping us out. I don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, I encourage more of them to do so. Because I've said it once and I've said it 100 times, what we advocate on this program, I truly think, is what's right for all Americans. Equal opportunity for all. Special privileges for none. People awarded scholarships and advancements and job placements based on merit. We advocate the freedom of speech and association. These are very basic liberties that, unfortunately, we have to do this show just to reconfirm in folks' mind that it's okay to have these things if you are a European American. But the thing about this story is that there's a disturbing trend in place here. It's that it seems as though anytime a group of white folks get together, they have to have a member of another race to come and agree with them at their meeting as if it offers their ideas legitimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, if our ideas are pure and our message is true, it doesn't matter who among us comes to the meeting. If it's true, it's true. If it's right, it's right. We don't need other people to come and give our ideas validity in our minds. And that's what we see time and time again. You see it at the tea parties. How many hundreds of thousands of European Americans gathered across the country at the different tea party locations? Countless. And these crowds were 95% plus white. Let's just face it. That's a fact. I mean, are we big enough to say that? I mean, can we still say that? That's what it was. That's the truth. And, you know, but they opened up a lot of these tea parties with the black rock and roller or something, you know. And that's, again, that's fine. But they went out of their way to find this guy. You know they did. And it shouldn't be. The same thing, I'll give you another prime example. And listen, you know, on this program, we've hosted, black guests, and we've agreed with them. Zola Foster, for example. We've had some Jewish guests on that we have a lot of common ground with, like Dr. Paul Gottfried. I am not going to hang anybody out if they are with us on the issues and if they can be an asset to the advancement of our statement of principles. I have very fine friends that aren't necessarily European American. But the thing is, I don't have to invite them over to Christmas dinner to prove to myself that I am or am not a racist. I can speak, as I do on this radio program, and say without any hesitation that this is, and always has been, a radio program whose primary focus is to advance the agenda of European Americans. Every other ethnic group and racial minority has their spokesmen and their organizations like the NAACP or Black Entertainment Television. So yes, absolutely and unequivocally, the Political Cesspool is a radio program that stands up for European Americans first and foremost. That's just the way it is. But look at the GOP in contrast to that. Fortune magazine says Condoleezza Rice should be the new face of the Republican Party. Now, it's not enough that the Republicans already have an incompetent black token like Michael Steele heading the party. Now, they are told, and they'll probably do it if recent trends are any indication, now they're told that they have to have another black person, in this case Condoleezza, who's not even a quote-unquote conservative, as the face of their party. The vast majority, and I mean the vast majority of Republican voters are white, but since we've been led to believe that white people are unspeakably evil, one of our own shouldn't be the face of the GOP. It must be Condoleezza Rice or Michael Steele. Well, I don't subscribe to that. This show doesn't stand for any of that stuff. We don't allow ourselves to be silenced by all these shut-up words. We're never going to allow ourselves to be silenced. We're going to stand up and speak out for our people. And if what we're saying resonates with any minorities that are here, great. Come support us. Come stand with us. We invite and encourage you to. I'm not going to hold my breath for that to happen. That's just not the way the world works, and everybody knows it but our people. But, folks, we need to become more ethnocentric. The fact that 99% of blacks in this country voted for Obama is not necessarily an unhealthy thing. I mean, it was terrible because Obama is a raving lunatic. He's a Marxist maniac. But the fact that black people voted for him because he was black, I wouldn't vote for John McCain, and I didn't vote for John McCain. I voted for Chuck Baldwin, you know. But I wouldn't have voted for John McCain if he was the only white candidate running because he, too, was a radical maniac. But nevertheless, there is something healthy about the fact that everyone else in the world is so ethnocentric. We too must be ethnocentric if we are going to survive. We have got to start solidifying ethnocentrically and speaking out as a family and engaging these ideas and our enemies in the court of public opinion as European Americans and not as conservatives or Republicans or so on and so forth. That's what this show realizes. That's what makes our show so unique. And we don't say anything to offend. We try very hard not to be offensive, but at the same time, we are not going to water down our message. And thankfully, it's a message that continues to be received by an ever-growing audience. Tens of thousands of you get our show every week, and we've been very much blessed to have become the primary voice of the European-American majority in this country. And we're going to continue to serve as that voice right after this word from our commercial break. We're going to talk about those racist carpooling lanes when the cesspool continues.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we've been promoting this carpool lanes are racist story for about an hour. We are going to get to it, but before we do, I got to reiterate a point I was making during the last segment. There was a recent article that was published by a libertarian writer who summed up that the Tea Parties and all of these town hall meetings and the recent march on Washington were small town white America's last stand. And that's his direct quote, small town white America's last stand. The writer was referring to the Tea Parties, town hall meetings, etc. And there were some other writers that said essentially the same thing. We, of course, blogged about it, and they're probably right. Again, just to reiterate and come to summation that which I was telling you before the last break, it will be their last stand unless white people begin explicitly coming together as white people and start demanding, as all of the other racial minorities are not only allowed to do but encouraged to do, start demanding that politicians represent their interests as European Americans. And until they do, they're not going to be able to change a thing. And since they're still going to get called racist anyway, no matter how many millions of them lie to themselves and say that race has nothing to do with this or that, they might as well admit the truth to themselves and start building a movement that can be effective before it's too late, which won't be long. Now, as I said, we can advocate a position as European Americans without inflicting upon others that which has been inflicted upon us, which is outright discrimination. As European Americans, we are the most discriminated people in America at this point, as far as I'm concerned, with the affirmative action and quotas and set-asides. That in no way means that we should absolutely. I believe in the freedom of association. If you want to associate with different people and enjoy a multicultural America or community, do it. Do it. I truly believe in freedom of speech and in freedom of association. And if we all are granted those rights and are allowed to pursue them in whichever way we feel most reflects our ideology and our families, then we can leave it. We can leave it at that. But and we can have conversations and intelligent, respectful conversations with other folks like Zola Foster, who I agree with on just about everything. Dr. Paul Gottfried. But I don't have these people on to prove to my detractors that this show isn't a quote unquote racist radio program. I mean, certainly we're not. But this is just something, you know. If the message is right, the message is right, and ours is right. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one bit. Let's quickly go to the phones, and then we'll go to carpools. John in Detroit. John, you're on the political cesspool. Oops, John left. I guess he got tired of waiting for me to go to the phone. See, now that's what I do sometimes. We open up the phone lines for callers, and then we take so long to get to them, they hang up. All right. Anyway, without further ado, let's go to the carpool lanes of racist. This is priceless. Is there anything, one thing in the world, that is not racist in Obama's America? Carpool lanes are now racist. This is getting ridiculous, folks. You got to admit, it's getting ridiculous. A lawsuit filed by Arlington County. Now, this is up there in Virginia, suburban D.C. A lawsuit filed by Arlington County last month claims that the lanes benefit wealthy white people and discriminates against minorities. You see the stuff we have to put up with? I mean, is this the kind of America? Is this your grandfather's America, as they ask? I mean, is this the kind of America? It's only going to get worse, too. It's only going to get worse. The stuff like this is going to become more and more commonplace if we don't begin to solidify as a group, as a distinct ethnostate, as a family, and speak out against it in one voice. Here's the story. There's a new turn in the debate over high occupancy toll lanes, these carpool lanes. A lawsuit filed by Arlington County last month claims that the lanes benefit wealthy white people and discriminates against minorities. While the only rule to get in an HOV lane on Interstate 395 is that you must have three people in the car. That's the only thing. If you got three people in the car, black, white, red, green, yellow, you can get in the darn lane. Arlington County claims that the lanes cut out poor and minorities by de facto. Now, their logic behind this, folks, your guess is as good as mine, but the claim doesn't sit well with Fairfax County Supervisor Pat Harity. Quote, I don't think race or class warfare has any standing in this argument. All right. It's gotten so bad. They have been allowed, the media and the government and groups like Acorn and everyone else have been allowed for so long to get away by calling us racist for any old thing they like, reason or no cause or no cause. And now they're saying, and like I said, this isn't a crackhead saying it. If it was, it'd be funny and ridiculous enough. This is the Arlington County, a county government, an official county government lawyer is suing the interstate, I guess. I who's he suing here? You know, the pavement? I don't know. But they are arguing that carpool lanes are racist. This is the stuff we've got to put up with. It's going to get worse if we don't do something about it. Now, what are you going to do about it, ladies and gentlemen? Well, you know, I can't do it all. I can do a lot, and we do a lot. This show has probably done more, truth be known, than just about any other, paleoconservative or, dare I say, right wing. I don't think we're radical. We're not. I don't think we're not. I know we're not. You know, I hate to use the word right wing, but I'm trying to put it in perspective. Obviously, this is a paleoconservative program. You can call us what you want. We've done more than I think any other legitimate paleoconservative organization or entity in America in the last 5 years. We speak out, we take our licks, we get a lot of publicity, and we keep on trucking, and we keep on growing. But we can't do it all, you know, and the few organizations out there that are standing with us, they can't do it by themselves either. The Council of Conservative Citizens, the National Policy Institute, European Americans United, and, you know, there's some others out there, and of course I'm forgetting them. Anytime I go into a listing of the good people and organizations out there, I'm always going to leave several off, so I beg your pardon for that, but... you know, come on. We've got to have help. We represent, this show represents the voice of 70% of the population. Now, you got to take out, if there is, you know, I always get slammed for hating this, hating that. I don't hate anybody. There's nothing but love in my heart, love in my heart for my family and for my ancestors, and that's why we do this show. But I always get slammed by the Marxists as a hater, which isn't true. But if I did hate anybody, it would be liberal white people. You know, they're the ones who dropped the ball on this thing. They're the ones who gave the country away. They're the ones who sold us out. So if I hated anybody, it would be probably my own people for the selling out. And this would be people like, well, every president we've had since Jefferson Davis, and you get the idea. But no, listen, we represent, you know, 70% of the population. Even if you cut out the white liberals, that was the point I was getting at. You cut out the white liberals, I still think, and, you know, maybe I'm naive in my thinking here, but I still think that the majority of European Americans in this country, red state Americans, you know, middle Americans, southern Americans, I think that they, if they would read the, not read what the ADL or the SPLC has written about this program, but if they would just read the mission statement on our website, I think that the majority of red state Americans would fall right in line with the ideas that are advocated and advanced on my show. And if that's true, then there are still tens of millions of decent Christian Americans out there that have the power to take this country back if they are brave enough to do it. I was at a birthday party today for my my nephew. Today was his one-year birthday party, his first birthday party. He's one year old. And I was flipping through the channels, and there was just, you know, countless college football games on, as there are every Saturday afternoon in this country. And they were packed, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60,000, 100,000 people in all of these stadiums across the country to watch college kids play football. Now, I love sports. I've played sports. I was a basketball player in high school. I love it. You know, I'm not bashing it. But if millions of people can go to sporting events every week in this country, surely there should be a couple of hundred that can stand up and form a political action committee that will advance the interest of conservative European Americans. Surely there must be that many that have the courage to do it. Stand with us. We're a few of them. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We'll return. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, it has been an invigorating yet exhausting show thus far. We have truly covered a lot of ground here in the cesspool thus far, and we're just barely half over with tonight's broadcast. Got one more segment here this hour, and then as we transition to the third and final hour this evening, we will be rejoined by a guest that I'm very excited to have on the show again, Tom Baugh. He is the author of the book Starving the Monkeys, and he is going to come on tonight and pick up where we left off with him a few weeks ago when he was first on this program. And when he's on with us tonight in this encore appearance, Tom will be elaborating on some of the solutions that we might find to some of the problems we are facing today. So I think the highlight of tonight's show, as good as it's been so far, in my humble opinion, is forthcoming when Tom Baugh joins us in about 15 minutes time or so. Like I said, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, a lot of stories. We've touched on a lot of topics and headlines. But the one thing that I just implore you, I encourage you to the fullest extent of my ability to check out, if you don't believe that this country, well, if you're tuned into this show, you gotta know that this country is taking a turn to the left, a turn for the worst. But I got to tell you, I don't know if I have in recent times, and I have seen some pretty shocking stuff, ladies and gentlemen, as in fulfilling my duties as host of this radio program, I have seen some stuff that most people would never believe, stuff that I would have never believed if someone had told me until I have lived the life of a political cesspool host, and then you get to see all sorts of stuff. With the spotlight comes all sorts of stuff that you just, would have never thought about. And America is a very corrupt and wicked and sick country, and I love America. I particularly love the South. I am a Confederate partisan, tried and true, but I love this whole country. I'll never love any part of the country more than the South, and I'll never love any state more than Tennessee, but I love America, and I hate to see what's happening to this country that God gave us. I hate to see that the sacrifices of blood and bone that our ancestors left on the soil here to give us this great nation is just being absolutely wasted by corrupt politicians and a very evil media. But this thing about Barack Obama and the kids singing his praises in school, public schools, this is what they're learning. you know, replacing the name of Jesus Christ with Barack Obama and almost singing these creepy, worshipful songs of a man who is not fit to be president. This man, I don't even know if he's an American. He's absolutely a Marxist. We know that for sure. He's a radical Marxist and a leftist of the Alinsky school. He was trained by people like the terrorist. You want to know who a real terrorist is? Bill Ayers is a terrorist. And these school kids are forced to sing songs. You know, second graders, you know, they don't know any better. What do they know? What did I know when I was in second grade? You know, I didn't care. I did what the teacher told me to do, and that's what they did. But you got to see it. You got to see this video. Go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's right there, front and center on the blog. Scary stuff. But there is some good news, not in that story, but there's always good news to be found, and you got to search a little bit harder for the good news than you do the bad. But one thing that I think is good news is that there is supposedly a historic bullet shortage in the U.S. Now, I'm a big shooter. I like to go to the shooting range. I'm proficient with the handgun. From the time I was a very young boy, my dad was teaching me to shoot, and it's something that I'll always respect and be thankful for. And I can remember going to the shooting ranges with my father when I was very young, before I was 10 years old. It's just great. That's all American stuff. And the fact that a lot of people are buying bullets shows me that, well, like I said before, it's just further proof and evidence that a lot of people still think like we do, and that's a good thing. Now, they do say that some of these people aren't buying it to use it at the range. They're taking it home and hoarding it. But you know what? They might need it. If the police state gets much more advanced, they will need it. But this is the story, and I'll read it in its entirety because, you know, like I said, it reconfirms some things that we believe to be true here, and that is a lot of Americans agree with us on a lot of issues. Bullet makers are working around the clock, 7 days a week, the article says, and still can't keep up with the nation's demand for ammunition. Now, why do you think these people are buying so many bullets? It's because they have the same distrust for the government. They see the same things that we see in coming from this government, and they want to protect themselves. And you know what? God bless them. Shooting ranges, and I go back to the story here, shooting ranges, gun dealers, and bullet manufacturers say they have never seen such shortages. Bullets, especially for handguns, have been scarce for months because gun enthusiasts are stocking up on ammo, in part because they fear President Barack Obama and the Democratic-controlled Congress will pass anti-gun legislation, even though nothing specific has been proposed, and the president last month signed a law allowing people to carry loaded guns in national parks, so the story says. Gun sales spiked when it became clear Obama would be elected a year ago, and purchases continued to rise in the first few months of office. The FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System reported that 6.1 million background checks for gun sales were issued from January to May of this year, an increase of 25.6% from the same period the year before. Americans are getting armed. That makes me feel safer. I don't know about you. Quote, this is going to cause an upswing in ammunition sales, end quote, said Larry Keene, senior vice president for the National Shooting Sports Foundation, a trade association representing about 5,000 members. Without bullets, he says, and he is exactly right, a gun is just a paperweight. The shortage for sportsmen is different than the scarcity of ammo for some police forces earlier this year. Quote, we are working overtime and still can't keep up with demand. Well, that's been established, but it's also reiterated by Al Russo, spokesman for the North Carolina-based Remington Arms Company, good old Remington, which makes bullets for rifles, handguns, and shotguns. He went on to say that we've had to add a fourth shift and go 24/7. It's a phenomenon that I have not seen in my 30 years in this business. You think the people agree with us on Obama or what, ladies and gentlemen? Americans, the story says, usually buy about $7 billion. That's with a B, as in boy, as in ball, as in basket. Americans usually buy about 7 billion rounds of ammunition a year, according to the National Rifle Association. In the past year, that figure has jumped up to about 9 billion rounds. Jason Gregory, who managed Gretna Gun Works just outside New Orleans, has been building his personal supply of ammunition for months. His goal is to have at least 1,000 rounds for each of his 25 weapons. I'll tell you what, you know, we had Jack McLam on to talk about the internment camps that the government is building for political dissidents like me and you. And if they ever try to implement the plan to put, what did the Southern Poverty Law Center say domestic terrorists were? Anyone who opposes abortion, same-sex marriage, Second Amendment restrictions, open borders, one world government, Obama's social programs, communism. This is what the Southern Poverty Law Center said were the characteristics of a domestic terrorist. They basically just described every decent American in this country. If you oppose abortion, same-sex marriage, communism. Anyway, if that's what a domestic terrorism a terrorist is, and if that's who is going to be rounded up and sent to these camps, these are going to be well-armed domestic terrorists, and you can count me as one of them. If being a domestic terrorist is someone who is upset with the loss of manufacturing jobs, as the SPLC says, absolutely, that's what I am. And when it comes time for these the police state to try to round up these domestic terrorists and send them to the internment camps, I want to be around Jason Gregory, who has 1,000 rounds for each of his 25 weapons. That is a good American. I call it the Obama effect, said Gregory of Tarrytown, Louisiana. He said, it always happens when a Democrat gets in office. It happened with Clinton, and Obama is even stronger for gun control. Ammunition will be the first step, so I'm stocking up while I can. The story goes on from there, and it again kind of reiterates and elaborates more on some of the things we just talked about. It said nationwide distributors are scrambling to fill orders from retailers. Vic Greenwich of Florida Ammo Traders, a distributor in Tampa, Florida, said, "We used to be able to order 50 or 60 cases and get them in 3 or 4 days. It was never an issue. Now you're really lucky if you can get one case a month. It just isn't there because the demand is way up." And, of course, for anybody who knows anything about guns, a case contains 500 or 1,000 bullets. So, hey, listen, bullets are the new gold, ladies and gentlemen. Invest in guns and in bullets, and you will be a safe American. And we want all good Americans to visit us on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you can check out our blog. You can go to the video page and watch some of my appearances on CNN. Check out our guest list. We're very proud of that guest list. And, of course, our broadcast archives are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts now available, too, thanks to Liberty News Radio, our great syndicator. You can contact us. All that and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I got to tell you, folks, if you support this program and the message we fight so hard to bring to you each and every week, and we do this as volunteers, and we spend a lot of hours every week preparing the show, and we're going to continue to do it. We've been able to do it, thank God, for 5 years. We want to do it another 5 years, but we need your support. Support us tonight by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and donating. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.